A sense of relief takes hold of UK financial markets as a former Wall Street insider looks set to become the next prime minister. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Victoria Craig. Good morning. We'll start with a quick check of the numbers because Britain's former finance minister, Rishi Sunak, is now the firm favorite to become leader of this country. That's after ousted former prime minister Boris Johnson, who was seen as one of the leading contenders, pulled out of the race late last night. The possibility of more stability then from former Goldman Sachs analyst Mr. Sunak has sent demand for government bond yields sharply higher this morning. The British pound has also firmed to $1.13. Megan Green, global chief economist at the Kroll Institute Consultancy, explains, though, that the journey to restoring the UK's credibility will not be easy for the next prime minister.
On the one hand, it can't provide these budgets that seem fiscally irresponsible. We see what happens with the markets then. But equally, Rishi Sunak is going to come and probably announce quite a lot of austerity. And he can't go too far on that end either, because then the markets will look at that and think, well, the UK is never going to grow. It's already got 10% inflation. It's facing Brexit headwinds. And so even without all the political drama, the economic environment in the UK is incredibly difficult. And the government can't spend too much, but it also can't retrench too much, because either way, investors will think that the UK's fiscal situation is unsustainable.
It's not just here. Markets are also seeing quite a bit of volatility outside the UK this morning. In Tokyo, policymakers appeared to, again, try to stem the Japanese yen's sharp declines that has been made worse by ongoing dollar strength and higher interest rates in the U.S. Stock markets closed lower across much of China today as well. Hong Kong's Hang Seng plunged 6.8%, while the Shanghai Composite Index dropped more than 2%. Today, fresh data showed the Chinese economy grew a far less robust than expected 3.9% in the third quarter from a year ago. But as the BBC's Stephen McDonnell explains from Beijing, that's not the only thing denting investor sentiment.
The GDP figures, obviously not good enough. And people remember these are the figures. They were delayed. They were supposed to be released last week. The thinking is that they weren't released then because it might have potentially embarrassed China's leaders during the party congress. I think, though, it's also because of, you know, it's the first chance for them to respond to Xi Jinping revealing his new leadership team and the big questions being asked about the capacity of that team to lead China economically.
And on the economic side, President Xi's zero COVID strategy has been hammering the Chinese economy for the last 3 years. After this Communist Party Congress over the weekend, where he got an historic third term, is there any idea or semblance of a plan to reignite China's growth?
No, in short. I mean, in his big speech at the beginning of the Congress, he hardly mentioned the economy. But let's look at who the new premier is. So Li Qiang is the number two leader and premier in the new Politburo Standing Committee, and therefore, in theory, in charge of the economy. Now, he presided over a disastrous zero COVID lockdown in Shanghai, people confined to their homes for months on end, massive food shortages. It was a logistical stuff-up of enormous proportions, and yet that's who they're putting in charge of the economy. I mean, it seems incredible.
And Stephen, you and I have talked for, well, years now about the outrage felt by people across China toward this zero-COVID strategy. I mean, how are they reacting now to these changes and President Xi's third term? What's the reaction across the country?
We spoke to some people over the weekend about this, just ordinary people in the streets. You know, that it's very tough for anyone to criticize Xi Jinping publicly, but people certainly made it clear they weren't surprised. There's kind of only one faction in the party now. It's the Xi Jinping faction. And it's only a question of how loyal you are to him. So the idea that there can be other views expressed, that he can be challenged in any way, just doesn't seem to exist. And what's even worse, the appointment of Li Qiang and others to the Politburo Standing Committee would seem to show that Xi Jinping, apart from not really understanding what economic activity is and what's required to drive an economy, he doesn't seem to care about it. He only sees the economy in terms of an ideological prism. He thinks that loyalty to the party and ultra-nationalism can basically overcome anything. And I think many analysts and even ordinary people here would be scratching their heads and saying, well, no, that's not enough. I mean, there's lots of debate about it, how to run an economy, but you can't just ignore it and hope that the party through its loyalty and political enthusiasm can fix any problems, because it just won't work.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell for us in Beijing. Thanks so much.
No worries. Good to talk to you.
The US, Britain, and France have condemned a Russian claim that Ukraine is preparing to use a radioactive dirty bomb on its own territory. In a joint statement, they said the world would see through any attempt to use that, quote, transparently false allegation as a pretext for escalation. Russia has been targeting key Ukrainian infrastructure, and President Zelensky claims as many as 1 in 3 power plants have been damaged or destroyed. The BBC's James Waterhouse has more from southern Ukraine.
We're in the heart of Kryvyi Rih, and it's a really strange sight. The police have just come into this sushi takeout and ordered the people here to turn out the lights. It's only 7:15 in the evening, but this is the new reality now. Because Russia is targeting infrastructure, it's putting a strain on Ukrainian populations and restricting people's ability to live normal lives and enjoy their evenings.
Tonight, Pavlo Hival and his team cut off more than 70 businesses for not following the new energy-saving rules here.
The aggressor wants to damage our energy system. That's why the city is doing its best to provide sufficient level of energy supply for people's daily lives, meaning gas, water and power supply.
Kryvyi Rih, along with the whole of Ukraine, is being forced to ration energy. It's because Russia, allegedly with the help of Iran, is striking the country's infrastructure. The city's mayor is Alexander Vilkal.
We've cut off streetlights by 60%. 50% of electric transport isn't operating. We've cut power for all sports and cultural buildings. Now we're finishing switching off any outside banners. And we also ask people to cut their electricity consumption.
The US has accused Iran of providing Russia with support and training for its invasion, as well as supplying new attack drones, which have been hitting Ukrainian cities. Both countries deny it, but the evidence is mounting. Where Russia is going backwards, in the southern Kherson region, it's accused of planting explosives on a key dam as it does so. Ukraine is looking to keep retaking territory as winter bites. Russia is looking for more than just the weather to slow them down.
That's the BBC's James Waterhouse reporting from southern Ukraine there. You can find more of his in-depth reporting from all across the country at bbc.com/news. In London, I'm Victoria Craig with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.